Welcome back to G5 Football Daily, part of Fan Nation and Sports Illustrated Media Group. Joe Londrigan here with you as always. Excited to talk some Group of Five football, as we do every week. And getting back into a regular rhythm, so appreciate everybody's patience. And this week we've got a couple guests that I think y'all are really going to like, especially for people who are fans of the offensive side of the ball. First, you're going to hear from Bryson Daly, quarterback of the Army West Point football team, as they get spring ball rolling here and prepare for the 2024 season, fresh off a win over Navy and a victory in the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy Series. Spirits are high for them about that, so we get into that, as well as what cadet life is like with one of the team's leaders at the moment. And then for the Sun Belt fans, you're going to recognize the next guest from a couple different capacities. Coach Ryan Applin was a two-time player of the year in the Sun Belt as a quarterback with Arkansas State 10 years ago, has done a few different assistant coaching positions in the time since. And this offseason, he was promoted to Georgia Southern's offensive coordinator job. So we get into that a little bit and how he's looking to help push them over the edge. They've been right there the last couple of seasons trying to get that first winning season under Clay Helton's direction. We talk a little bit about what they're doing to get there in the meantime. But thank you all so much for listening. Not going to take up any more of your time. Let's jump into it first with Bryson Daly. Fantastic. Bryson, thanks so much for coming in today, man.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. So just to kick things off, how's it feel to be back at spring ball?
Oh, it's awesome. Great to be back out there with the guys. You know, January and February always feel so long because you're not out there playing football, but it's great to be back.
As a cadet and a, you know, varsity athlete, I imagine you don't have a whole lot of free time, but when you do, what do you like to do for fun around around West Point?
Oh, well, when it warms up, as it has this week, we like to get out on the golf course. That's kind of our getaway. So we got a pretty good golf course up here. So
West Point has one, or they have one they're affiliated with? Or
West Point Golf Course. Yeah, it's right off post. It's really nice. So that's our favorite spot.
Nice. What's the best part of your game right now between approach shots, putting, that sort of thing?
I'm not very good. I'm trying to get there. I hit my hybrid pretty good. Put away my driver and just get the hybrid out. So
I love that for you. Now that you have a year as the starting quarterback under your belt, is there anything that's different or at least feels different about how you're approaching the game and in this these practices that you guys have done so far?
Yeah, just, you know, actually playing a year, I understand how the game works to a whole nother level. Just because I've seen it happen. I've seen us go through game preparation, scouting teams, and I, you know, understand how our schemes work against certain defenses. It's just valuable reps that I've gotten that help so much now. And I'm more able to coach the younger guys. I've never been in that role. I've been trying to learn things on the fly with a new offense last year. But now I'm kind of in a role where I can I understand it enough to teach guys as well. So that's been something different this spring.
With your guys' offense, you switched things up a few times last year, went from, you know, a lot of shotgun formations under your previous OC at the beginning of the year, went to some more traditional triple option rather formations towards the end of the season. Those under center formations really seem to be working for you guys in those wins over Coastal and Navy. So for you, what was it about being in those formations that helped you and your team find a rhythm?
Yeah, it was just something. We went to the Coastal game with, I think it was four plays under center, and we weren't planning on being in it the whole time. We went out there first drive and kind of kicked them, and we were like, hey, let's stay in it until they stop us. And then we were able to utilize some of that against Navy as well. But that's an offense that we had all ran for 3 years, some guys four, some guys five. So it's an offense we all knew really well, and, you know, Coastal hadn't prepared for it. So, you know, that worked to our favor as well.
So, you know, I know one of the reason that Coach Motkins mentioned you guys needed to or wanted to switch up the offense in terms of the formations was the chop block rule, those sort of things. You know, I guess playing in that style for a little bit last year, how do you kind of feel about how your guys and your offensive line particularly, you know, absorbed that new style and how they adapted to the rule change and that sort of thing?
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of carryover between the two, especially for the O-line. You know, a lot of the plays are still called the same thing. They're doing the same thing. It's just I happen to be under the center. So a lot of things don't change for them. Really our, you know, slot receivers and those guys are really taking the brunt of the change. They're doing a good job learning it. So I think the offense is going in a good direction.
If there's anything you guys think you need to, you know, improve on or learn, add to your repertoire before the regular season starts in August, what do you think that is?
I think it's just experience. Nothing in particular with scheme. We just need to get guys with experience. We had a great senior class, especially skill positions that left us. So we just got to get some young guys, some really talented young guys, some experience.
Moving to the AAC now, you know, I know Abernathy, where you're from, is not particularly close to Denton, but are you excited to potentially play in front of some family when you guys go to North Texas this season?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I love playing in Texas. We had a game in San Antonio, which is, you know, 7 hours from Abernathy. And Abernathy, they traveled, and it was awesome. So if we get anywhere near Texas, you know, that's awesome for my family and all my friends as well. So.
You mentioned that UTSA win. I think that's one that definitely sticks out on your guys' resume as far as last season goes. You know, what was it about, you know, being in that atmosphere in the dome and just, you know, getting into a rhythm? I guess take me back to that moment and what was working so well for you guys.
Yeah, that was a game that just everything came together. We executed, played well. We didn't turn over the ball, had no penalties. You know, we just played great. And that's a game it really showed what we could do. And, you know, we showed it in spurts at different times of the year, you know, first half against Syracuse, you know, second half against Boston College. But that was just a game where four quarters, you know, we showed our potential. And, you know, that's something that as a quarterback with some experience now, I hope, you know, we can build on that moving into this season.
You know, when you look ahead to that first season of playing in a conference, I guess, is there anything in particular about actually being in a conference versus being an independent that's particularly exciting or noteworthy to you guys?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. You know, just having another, you know, championship to play for. You know, we play for the CIC every year, which is, you know, that's what we play for. That's the highlight of our season, the goal of every season. But just, you know, going into those conference games, knowing, hey, there's something on the line here too, guys. You know, that's awesome. For me as a senior, you know, trying to give guys motivation or whatever. So I think it's great, and I'm excited to compete.
Looking ahead to your time after West Point, obviously things are significantly different for you guys who are cadets and, you know, looking to build your life after that. For you, what's on the horizon for you after graduation, or if you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what your service is going to look like, that sort of thing, would love to know.
Yeah, no problem. So obviously I'm going to be a senior. So, you know, coming up in winter, you know, I'll pick my branch. So I'm leaning towards infantry or field artillery. And then in the spring, we pick our post locations where we'll be posted. And then after that, after graduation, of course, we serve for 5 years. So that's on the horizon for me. Well, we'll see where it goes.
Last question for you. Is there a post for, you know, the artillery guys that's maybe most like desirable, like obviously with, you know, those Navy guys talk about trying to go to Hawaii or something like that or anything?
Yeah, Hawaii would be really nice. We have we have infantry in Hawaii, Italy, those would be nice. But it's all based on class rank. So that might not be in the cards for me. Only those top guys get to go there. So I'm hoping to get like Fort Hood down in Texas would be really nice, or in Colorado or somewhere like that.
I think they got some good golf courses in those places as well. Bryson, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get back to it, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, keeping the show going now with Georgia Southern offensive coordinator Ryan Applin. Coach, can't thank you enough for your time. Would love to start off, if we can, by, you know, talking about your playing days at Arkansas State. I think a lot of our readers would know you from that period of your life and the things you accomplished there. So let's start by, you know, going down memory lane and talking about your days as a Red Wolf.
Yeah, man, feels like ages ago, but no, very exciting time. You know, probably the best times of my life. You know, obviously met a lot of my closest friends, and I think the biggest memory is kind of I came in with the core group of guys, you know, and you know, back then obviously the transfer portal really wasn't what it is today, but you know, we had a really tight knit group that we're all still in a group chat together, and you know, we all made a, you know, kind of a pact to each other that we wanted to try to change the MO of the program and you know, get back on track and fill the stadium up and things like that. And you know, we got really, really close those last 2 years, and you know, to kind of see where it was to where it is now. And obviously the Sun Belt Championships were unforgettable moments, you know, to really go from 4-8 back to back years to going to back to back 10 seasons was really cool. But I think it's the work and the camaraderie and the locker room. I think those are things you really fall back on, is being around those guys. And, you know, it's just something to see that excites you, you know, and that's what makes great teams. But, you know, my fondest memory is probably my last home game ever. It was like, I felt like it was like a Disney movie. So we didn't have a conference championship game. Whoever was outright, we were playing middle, and they came to our place, and you could just feel the electricity. You know, you walked in for warm-ups, and the stadium was packed, and just a really cool atmosphere. And to kind of go out the way we did was really, really cool. And, you know, I had my entire family there. I'm from Florida, so to have 30-plus people come to my last home game, and, you know, for it to end the way it did, it was really, really cool.
Awesome. Something else, too, as far as that time in your life, I think people are curious about, is just what made you want to pursue coaching once your time as a player was done?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've kind of grown up around it my whole life. My dad coached me in Little League. My uncle was a basketball coach for 35 years in Hillsborough County at Tremblant High School. My grandfather was a coach in the area and was the AD at one point of that area, athletic director. And, you know, I think it's just one of those things as you started to go through. I really didn't know at first. I started playing. I fell in love, obviously, with just the, you know, really all sports of just being able to compete. And but I think as I kind of got into college and even some in high school, just being around the guys and, you know, trying to, you know, I think the game of football is so unique because there's so many life lessons that get taught through everything that these kids go through. But I think it was one of the things that just, you know, one, it was the closest I'd get to playing again. You know, and so I think that was one of the things that I was like, man, you know, going out and being with those guys, but seeing the light click, you know, I know as a young player, I remember a lot of, you know, just sometimes things wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't work, or I couldn't get it right, or, you know, I couldn't make a certain throw, or, you know, and so to then, you know, go in and do all the practice stuff and get a couple different coaching points, and then that light kind of clicked, you know, and watching guys excel in those moments and, you know, go from being a kid to a young man, progress. You know, I think it's really the relationship piece that probably drove me into getting coaches, is being around these kids and having that relationship and where they can come in and trust you. And one thing I love the most is all the stuff outside of football. You know, coming up here and hanging out and learning about their family and learning that, you know, what kind of makes these guys tick. And, you know, also being able to give them my life experiences as a player, because, you know, it wasn't perfect. You know, I tell them today, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and I'm going to continue to make mistakes. But, you know, when you can trust one another, you know, that's when you start to have something special. And so I think the piece of being to get around these kids, you know, you've got kids from all different walks of life in one building, and to have a really connected group, that was kind of what I got to experience in high school and college. And that's probably the main thing that drove me, was that relationship piece of helping kids grow and get to press on and go forward with what they want to do and chase their dreams, but also, you know, try to get them set up for life. Because I was that kid that when I got done playing, I fell on my face. I thought I'd play forever and wasn't quite good enough, and things didn't work out, and I didn't know what to do. And, you know, I was really lucky that Coach Freeze gave me an opportunity when I still wanted to play to come work. And so that's probably the biggest thing for me, is the relationships and watching these kids grow, not just on the field, but in life.
You know, moving forward to working with Coach Helton at Georgia Southern, I guess when Helton took over there, it was a big task to switch up the offense as much as it was. You know, I guess for you, how did that transition go on your end as the person who was, you know, handling Kyle Van Treese and getting him to, you know, I guess get the rest of the team to where they needed to be to make that kind of offense work?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people don't know Coach Helton actually coached me at Arkansas State going into my sophomore year. And so I think the relationship piece was obviously crucial into coming here. And, you know, and I had worked for his brother. And, you know, the hardest thing in my career probably so far was to leave my alma mater to come here, you know, for a very similar position. And, you know, I think it was kind of a collective effort. I think one thing we always talked about with Coach Ellis, you know, as a staff and Coach Helton, was there's got to be a sense of belief. You know, we got to find a way to get these kids to believe. And I think it kind of falls back to the relationship piece of getting a guy like Kyle Van Treese, you know, his last year to come here in the unknown system when people, all they do is tell him is, you know, they're not going to do it. They're not going to go to this system, you know, and then really getting these kids to buy in. And so I think a lot of it was, you know, showing them the success that this offense has had, you know, getting them to believe in what we're doing and go out there and fight their tails off. And you know, I think anybody that tell you, these kids are honestly what makes it happen. We have fantastic kids. Kyle was a big, along with a bunch of those other seniors that we have in that class, but he kind of led the way. You know, he was the one that, you know, kind of got on the guys and kept them in line. But, you know, also they did stuff together as a group. And so, you know, I think when you look back on the leadership of Coach Helton, you know, but the belief piece, I think, is the most important. We, you know, we got those kids to believe in what we're doing, believing in themselves, and going out there and fighting their tails off on Saturdays.
So you mentioned Coach Ellis. Obviously know that he's off at another job. What's is kind of the expectation for yourself moving into, you know, the first year as the OC and while also pulling double duty as a quarterback's coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think the expectation stays the same. You know, I think our goal is to get the best out of our kids. And, you know, we're always fighting for innovation and trying to make sure that we do stay ahead of the game. But obviously, I think we're in a really good situation. We probably have the most depth we've had, you know, and so, but we're also really, really young, you know, so I think this spring is going to be really crucial. But the standard is the standard, you know, and I think that's the one thing that separates this place is, you know, tradition of excellency, and I think that's what you want. You know, as a coach, you want to be around a place that expects greatness, and because as a player and a competitor, like, that's what you got to expect out of yourself. So I'm really looking forward to spring ball. I know our kids are. They've been kind of foaming at the mouth to get out there and run around and, you know, coming up here, you know, coach, what we got, you know. So, but, you know, I think the expectation is to go out, you know, find a way each day to better not only ourselves as an individual but as a team, because I think one thing that's different as an offense, it takes all 11. You know, one guy takes a wrong step, it doesn't matter how open you are or how bad this is, it doesn't work, you know. So the expectation to play as a group, to play as a unit, to not flinch in tough moments and really find out who we are, you know, and so, but also to take that next step going into year three.
Now that Davis Brin has moved on, can you just talk for a minute or two about, you know, some of the guys that are in that quarterback room and sort of your expectations for the ones who are going to contend for that starting job?
Right. You know, so you've got a couple guys coming back that have been here. You know, obviously David Dallas has been here. He's kind of coming back off the injury. J.C. Prince made a couple appearances last year. You've also got Colton Fitzgerald, who's been here for 2 years now. Colby Walton was a freshman. Dexter Williams is a new transfer that's coming from Indiana. And then you've got Tyler Budge, who's a true freshman who just stepped on campus in January. And so I think it's a pretty deep room. I think it's an extremely talented room. I think this spring is going to be really exciting for those guys to get out there and kind of find their own and fine-tune their piece of the play. But I'm really excited. You know, it's really a wide-open room there right now. You know, I think if you go off of here, you know, JC's played the most of anybody at Georgia Southern, but obviously Dexter brings a little bit more knowledge, you know, having played, but also coming off of injury. And so I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a really exciting spring. I'm really looking forward to get out there and watching those guys, you know, get around their teammates. And, you know, I think the biggest thing we talk about is consistency. You know, those guys have got to be the most consistent players on our team. And then obviously the big thing that we talk about all the time is we got to take care of the ball and keep us on track.
Fantastic. Coach, can't thank you enough for your time. Good luck with spring ball and good luck with your preparations for next season.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks again to Bryson Daly and Ryan Applin for sharing a bit of their time with me this spring as they get ready for what's going to be a very, very weird, hopefully good college football season in 2024 with, of course, all the changes coming to the playoff selection format and who knows what else at this point, guys. Life is... The sport's undergoing some major change, and we're going to talk about it more over the next couple of weeks. We've got an audience Q&A coming up. Thank you to those that have submitted their questions there. We will get to, we should be able to get to all of them, but can't thank you enough for the ones that are engaged enough with the show to offer up those questions. That's great. That's great to see. And then we've also got our NFL draft preview coming up. From the time this episode drops, should be up a few days later. So keep an eye out for that as well. And of course, just keep checking out g5footballdaily.com if you like to support us and help us grow this thing. That's how we grow and make money right now is based on the amount of traffic we get there. So thank you so much for doing that in advance. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm at @JOEHIO_, and then you can search G5 Football Daily on Instagram as well. Okay, say it every week, but I mean it. Happy football watching. If it brings you joy, keep doing it. If not, find something else. But I think if college football didn't bring you joy, you wouldn't be here. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.